Hey everyone, welcome to the Overflow Podcast, where pastor, author, speaker, and consultant Jim Stern explores various benefits and blessings of life lived in the overflow of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's love. There is so much to discover, to learn, to feel, and to see when God goes first and we live in the overflow.
All right, here we go. Back into another session of Overflow. Man, Overflow exists to be fuel for your race, a weekly injection of life in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as you seek to run the race that God our Father has marked out for you. We know Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God our Father has a race for you to run. We do Overflow every week to be a weekly source of injecting truth and life into the race that you're running, keep you on the front line of the kingdom of God and all that God our Father has for you. We are in the midst of unpacking the life of Jotham in 2024. Jotham is a Judean king whose story is told in 2 Chronicles 27. The scripture says that Jotham was considered mighty because he ordered his ways according to the Lord. He was called mighty. Talk about a great designation for your reputation. How would you like to be considered mighty? Jotham was considered mighty because he ordered his ways to the Lord. We have pulled that apart and discovered three elements of Jotham's life that he ordered to the Lord that led him to be called mighty. Jotham ordered his be, his build, and his fight. He ordered his be, his build, and his fight to the Lord, and because he did this in great simplicity and clarity, he led an internally powerful life, internally solid life, that generated what others observed in him and called mighty, We spent the past many Overflow sessions dissecting, pulling apart, working through what it means to be. We've spent a lot of time in that, even last week looking at the Trinitarian implications of being to be a child of the Father, to be a brother or sister of Jesus, to be a temple or a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and all the implications of that, or some of the implications of that. We will come back and continue throughout the year to talk more about different aspects of what it means to be, to step into the fullness of who it is that our Father's called you to be. But for today, we're going to move on for a little while, and we're going to talk about building. We got to get into building. What does that look like for our lives? Can you imagine in your own life being assigned building projects, being given tasks, assignments, projects to do, and you are being given those building projects by Yahweh himself? Yahweh, the one who empowered Moses to stand against Pharaoh, Exodus chapter 3 and forward, Yahweh assigns you work to be done. Man, if your heart is open to the reality of God and his true work in the world, then receiving assignments from him has to be staggering. Someone like you is being assigned work to do from someone like him. I mean, you gotta be affected by that. There's gotta be a divine woe that overcomes you just in the reality that Yahweh himself has work for you to do. You may recall at various points in your life or your career, someone in a position of authority or someone in a position of respect assigned you projects, came to you and said, we're putting you on the team, or gave you a specific assignment and said, this is for you alone, and expected you to be able to participate and generate value. Remember how that made you feel, that someone in a position of respect or authority sought you out and pursued you and gave you an assignment. How that made you feel. Man, how much more should we embrace God's assignments, and how much more should that lead us to experience tremendous confidence and worth, being energized for each day for the creator of the universe. The creator of the universe has given me work to do for the day. I mean, you wake up each day as the cobwebs are falling off and you're coming into your consciousness for the day, you wake each day to be a son of your Father and to put your hand to godly assignments. You are a servant of Yahweh. Man, I would say whatever we do in the Lord, we do in awe and wonder that we are the ones doing it. Mechanics, we'll get to that and what that looks like in the specifics of it. We'll get to it. But man, we can't overstate. We can't miss that we are the ones that Yahweh himself is tasking with these responsibilities. I think this is the mentality of Jotham. King Jotham, king of Judah, at 25 years old, he steps into his identity as being king of Judah. For this is who the Lord created him to be. And he gets to work building his assigned projects. And while he's building, as we will see, he must fight those who oppose his work. So we have being, we've got building, and we've got fighting. Let's look at the passage in 2 Chronicles that speaks directly to Jotham's building. 2 Chronicles 27, 3-4 says this: He, Jotham, built the upper gate of the house of the Lord, and he built extensively the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah, and he built fortresses and towers on the wooded hills. Here's a big deal. Jotham did not separate his bee from his build. Jotham did not separate his bee from his build. He did not receive his new identity and then give his life to building what he wanted to build. Jotham's building flowed from his being. If the Lord has called me to be king, then I need to be about the Lord's work. So Jotham dedicated himself to Yahweh's building projects. Yahweh's building projects. The upper gate was the northern gate in Jerusalem that controlled access to Solomon's temple. The word Ophel in 2 Chronicles 27:3 literally means a bump. There's a bump in the ground. There's a large bump in the ground just south of the temple and north of the city of David. So in between those, it connects. The Ophel connects, and Ophel literally means bump. This bump connects the geographical location of Solomon's temple and the city of David. And so Jotham is busy continuing the construction of the wall around the Ophel. He is busy further securing Jerusalem and providing controlled access to the temple. Then the scripture says that Jotham was busy building cities, fortresses, and towers. The cities, fortresses, and towers would have been used to further secure Judah's strength in their land. The cities were placed strategically according to the leading of the Lord for agriculture, for defense, for storage. They would be fortified to protect Judean interests against foreign invaders. The cities would have been populated with judges, with priests, with warriors, with farmers, and everyone in the city would have contributed to the community strength. So Yahweh's building assignment served to solidify his people, and to advance his kingdom. Jotham says, I am who the Lord has called me to be. I'm going to build what the Lord has created me to build. I find there's an interesting contrast between Jotham's and Jesus' building. And I find this to be a fascinating contrast between the two. Jotham worked to build a geopolitical entity. He worked to secure the physical geopolitical interests of the nation of Judah. So he built physical walls and physical gates and physical cities and physical towers to endure against a geopolitical entity and to provide physical life for his physical life and security for his people. Jesus, in contrast, and this is what's fascinating. Jesus, in contrast, came to build the supernatural kingdom of God. Jesus didn't come to build a physical geopolitical entity. He came to build a supernatural kingdom of God. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. In the earlier chapter of Luke 4, he's done all these miracles. He's healed all these people. He's taught all this great content. And in a particular city, he goes and gets alone with God, his Father, and he's alone praying. The people come and find him and want to take him back to the city that where he just taught and preached and shared. But Jesus says, no, I'm not going back. And he says this in Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. I was sent for this purpose. So Jesus's purpose is not to preach a message of the building or the creation of a new geopolitical entity. He didn't come to build a new nation state that's going to compete with other physical nation states. It's going to war with Moab or Edom or Assyria or Babylon or Rome or Greece or whoever. He didn't do that. He came to preach the kingdom of God. That, according to Jesus, that was his purpose. He came to build a supernatural kingdom of God on earth. The next thing that Jesus does after Luke 4 and Luke 5 is to recruit his original 12 disciples, none of whom were general contractors or experts in building geopolitical entities, let alone building physical buildings. In fact, each disciple is a spectacularly odd choice for the mission. Nevertheless, Jesus is clear that his assignment is to build the kingdom on earth. And these are the guys that he's going to surround himself as his public team of accomplishing his mission of building this supernatural kingdom. Among other things, the kingdom is going to be the vehicle through which men and women would be rescued from Jesus' enemy. They would be healed. And then, like Jotham, they would be given their own building assignments. It seems from an evaluation of Jesus' life and ministry that the kingdom would be about building people, and then building communities of people that would come to be called churches. But the role of Jesus in his building projects, unlike Jotham, where his primary call was to build a physical geopolitical entity of Judah, Jesus came to build a supernatural realm, a supernatural environment called the kingdom of God. And in that, Jesus' calling was to build people. But you can see very similarly to Jotham that Jesus' building flowed right out of his being. Jesus' building was dictated by his being. Now, I spent a lot of time with men. One of the population groups that I end up spending a whole lot of time with is men in their late 40s to early 60s. Oftentimes, these men are struggling with feeling like their life matters. Even though they've experienced good degrees of business success, some incredible degrees of business success, they are waking up to the reality that as they evaluate the significance of their lives, something is badly missing. And we talk and we share and we fall in love and get to know them and hear them and listen to them and their stories. And it's very, very, very powerful. And when it's appropriate and when the time is right, we circle back around. I'll always ask him the same question, some variation of the same question. And the question is this: hey, when you began your career in your early to mid 20s, did you ask our Father to lead you in the career decisions that you made? Before you got into the corporate race that you've been running in your decision-making process, before you decided what you were going to give your blood, sweat, and tears to build, did God our Father, did you consult, did you surrender, did you look to, did you follow the direction that God our Father was leading you in the beginning of your career? Usually the response is, most oftentimes the response is a blank stare. It's a blank stare. Most of these men have spent their careers being good employees, good employers, with the morality of Jesus, but their energy has been devoted to building their wealth and prestige. Heart of it, slice it open. Really, their desire has been, their energy has been given to building their own wealth and their own prestige. Little to none of their effort has been dedicated to intentionally building the projects for which Yahweh created them and assigned to them. Now, man, if that's you today, you're in that boat. Let me speak life into you. Thankfully, we serve a merciful and a gracious Father who's quick to forgive and restore when we repent, reconnect, and reengage. To the degree that the Holy Spirit will convict you of that, let him convict you, receive that conviction, ask for forgiveness, repent of that, and let's say, man, I'm going to use the rest of my years. It's not too late. I'm going to use the rest of my years to allow my building to flow out of my being, and I'm going to engage and really pursue and try and identify what are the very specific works that God my Father has assigned for me to do. Now, does that mean that building in the way of Jotham and Jesus, does that mean that each one of us is called to vocational ministry, that we need to leave our jobs as engineers or accountants or
stay-at-home moms or whatever it is. Do we need to leave all of that and go into vocational ministry? Absolutely not. No, not at all. God our Father calls men and women to serve in all sorts of vocations, But what it does mean is that for those of us in the kingdom, our purposes and goals in our careers are completely different than those who are not in the kingdom. We can be two engineers. I'm in the kingdom, you're not, or you're in the kingdom, I'm not. You're doing your career for X, and I'm doing my career for Y. The kingdom goal and purpose of career is completely different. Completely different. For the kingdom-minded person, our vocations, while they are also can be God's source of taking care of us financially, our vocation gives us access to people. Our vocations gives us access to people that we would never otherwise have access to. Think about it. You work 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. You're spending 40, 50, 60 hours with people that apart from work, you would never otherwise have access to. And because you are with them over that period of time, you have the opportunity to get access to those people, many of whom would never step foot in the doors of a church ever, ever. And yet you are given the high privilege of getting access to their hearts. And people are what Jesus was after. People are what Jesus was after. So God our Father can call me to be an engineer and serve in a quote-unquote secular engineering company, ENC company, and I can be going about my engineering work, doing my mechanical engineering or my civil engineering or an accountant, and I'm doing tax or audit or whatever it is. Sitting across the cubicle from somebody else or an office and running a team or whatever you're doing. And I can be in there, one of the flock, but man, my goals and my purposes are completely different because I'm in the kingdom and my coworkers are not. The true win for those of us in the kingdom is not closing the deal or maximizing profit or finishing a project. The true win for us is praying for a coworker, leading a coworker to the Lord. Are freeing some coworker from some form of bondage that they happen to be in, that we have been skilled, that we have been equipped with skill, knowledge, and expertise to be able to work with them through or marshal into resources that can, because we're about our Father's business, and our Father's business, our building flows from our being. We've been marked out by God our Father, sons of our Father, daughters of our Father, brothers and sisters of Jesus, temples of the Holy Spirit, set apart by Him to do good works, which He's prepared in advance for us to do. And it's all about people. And so our building takes on a completely different definition. How we measure wins and losses changes. So we can even lose the deal and win in the kingdom. We can win the deal and lose in the kingdom because we in the kingdom have different purposes and different plans. As those of us, you and I, who've been made sons and daughters of our Father through Jesus, as those baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, our energy for building belongs to God. Belongs to God. We build in the overflow of our being. Watch this. Watch this. This is the condition that I find most of these men in, women also, people that I get to spend a lot of time with. To be a son or a daughter, to be Christian, but to build what you want or think is best, is to suffer from spiritual schizophrenia. To be a son or daughter of God our Father, but to build what you want is to suffer from split personalities. On the one hand, I identify as a Christian. On the other hand, I identify as my own boss, my own king. This place is a withering place. It's a withering place. There's no wholeness. There's no vitality. There's no juice. There's no confidence. There's no certainty. There's no looking at one in that who's operating in that and calling them mighty. Jotham was called mighty because his building flowed right out of his being, right out of his being. Our building needs to flow seamlessly from our being. Our priorities should align with the priorities of Jesus. Our priorities need to align with the priorities of Jesus. And any read of Jesus's life shows his priority is reaching people. People were Jesus's passion. Pick a New Testament individual. Pick a New Testament individual and consider how Jesus took them from wherever he found them and built them into something new. Any New Testament, who's your favorite New Testament guy or gal? Consider what their lives looked like before Jesus and look at what Jesus built them into. Jesus' passion was people. Conversely, consider those in the New Testament who rejected Jesus' invitation and what became of their lives. if we're going to be called out, if we're going to be those who've been adopted into the family of God by the power of the Holy Spirit and called sons and daughters of God our Father, brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, then our building must be connected, must flow out of our being. Therefore, in the kingdom, our primary assignment is to build people. God our Father empowers us to love, to counsel, to train people in the power of his Holy Spirit, just as Jesus modeled. So let me ask you this. How much does your building align with your being? To the degree that there's separation, to the degree that you're suffering from spiritual schizophrenia, as you're listening to this, repent. Ask God our Father to forgive you of your sin in the name of Jesus. Ask God our Father to forgive you for separating your being from your building. Your building from your being. Ask God our Father. Confess that sin in the name of Jesus. Repent. Ask God our Father to bring your building into alignment with your being. And begin to see people. Ask God our Father through the power of the Holy Spirit to show you the people that are around you. I'm not asking you to go anywhere different. I'm not asking you to exert any other effort. I'm just asking you to allow God our Father to awaken you to the people who are already around you. There are hurting people all around you. And you know the easiest way? It's such a low bar. Just ask them to coffee. Just ask them to lunch. Just ask them to breakfast. And say, how are you doing? Share with them something that's going on in your life. We'll talk more about what it looks like to build people over the next few weeks as we plow through more and more overflow. For today, consider the degree to which you're clear and passionate about your building assignments, about the people who are around you. As the Holy Spirit convicts you, repent. As he sharpens you, say thanks. As he empowers you, go. As he empowers you, go. And the Holy Spirit is going to send you to people. You're sitting back and you go, man, I never hear the voice of God. I don't really have that much going on in my life. That's because your heart is not being realigned. Your building is not being realigned to flow out of your being. And everything that we do in the kingdom of God is about building people. It's about building people. I had lunch with a fellow last week who got turned on in the Lord. He is so fired up about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now his building is coming in alignment. He said this. He said, you know, Jim, I used to, every once in a while, I might tell somebody I was going to pray for them. I'd get off the phone or walk away, and maybe I'd pray for them, maybe I wouldn't. I've made a change. I made a commitment. If I'm ever with somebody and it feels like they need prayer, I'm stopping right there, and I'm praying with them right there. And he said, Jim, you would be amazed at the things I'm experiencing now in the kingdom of God. I'm blown away at the activity that God, my Father, allows me to be a part of. Why? What changed? What changed is he made his building in alignment with the priorities of Jesus, his alignment with the priorities of Jesus, and he made it all about building people. Brothers and sisters, this is life in the overflow. Man, I hope this has been helpful to you. We're building, we're fighting. We're spending our first time in this session on building. We're aligning our building with our being, and we're going after people. We're going after people. If this has been helpful to you, please don't hesitate to send it on your social media channels to your friends, your family. Man, we could really use your financial support. If you get any benefit out of this at all, we're looking for $10 gifts, $20 gifts, $25 gifts. We got the $10 is the lowest gift that we received so far. $1,000 monthly is a big one for us. You're in the middle of that. You want to go above and beyond that. We could certainly use your help to continue to put out content like this that's helping all sorts of people run the race that God our Father's marked out for them. I hope that you will walk in the fullness of all that our Father has for you. And we'll be back together again real soon as we look to live and understand how to live life together in the overflow.
Thank you for joining us in the overflow. To find a blog connected to today's session where you can engage with Jim and others, go to trexo.org/blog. This podcast is made available through the gracious giving of people just like you. If you would like to help us bring more people into the healing waters of our Father's love, you can do so at trexo.org/donate. We will be back next week for another edition of Overflow.